This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, November 26th, 2024. And it's another beautiful, chilly day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app or by podcast or watching us on social media. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Are you properly bundled up to be outside? It is 18 degrees right now here in Chippewa Falls. The wind chill is 8. In Amory, it's 15 right now. The wind chill is 4. Because of a stiff west wind out there. So, temperatures in the teens and 20s, but the wind chills are single digit. So this is not the time where you go, well, I don't have the stuff I need in the car yet, but I'll get to it. No, you need that now. Don't skip the jacket. Don't skip the gloves. Get exactly what you need before you head out the door or before you let the kids head out the door. Especially, by the way, the teenagers. I am reminded after visiting my older daughter in Idaho a week before last that during her teen years, I'll never forget the first time she shows up ready to go to the bus stop in pajama bottoms. And I'm like, what is this? And she's like, Dad, they're sleep pants. Everybody's wearing them. And so now all these years later, I'm with her and we were shopping. I think we were at like a Hobby Lobby or something in Idaho Falls. And there's kids in pajamas, like full on pajamas now. And I remember her just looking at me going, you were right, Dad. So sometimes you need to protect the kids from themselves when the temperatures are this cold. All right. So keep that in mind. Coming up on the program this morning. First off, on the lighter side of things, we'll have our community editor, Christina Laurie, and our social media manager, Sharita Booker, here to talk about some of the more popular stories in our newsletter and online. We'll talk with veteran Chicago journalist Jennifer Scholze about how President-elect Trump is 8 weeks away from being sworn in, but already having an impact on the economy and on the way that your prices are about to go up, and an impact on the justice system. It turns out that the wheels of justice can turn too slowly. Now that a convicted felon charged with trying to overturn the last election was able to run out the clock and win the next one. So we'll have more about the legal cases against President-elect Trump being dropped. That will be coming up. We'll have Chad Holmes here from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau to preview his show and much more. Along the way, you can join us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or you can text us or call us at that number or through the Civic Media app. Or if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, just put something in the comments section and we may see it there and pop that up on screen. Alicia writes in on YouTube. Glad to see you, Pat. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad as well for folks like Greg Bach, who helped fill the gap yesterday along with our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly, when somebody's backache was just a little too much to sit here for 2 hours and not grunt and groan and try not to cry. Mr. Bach, good morning, and thank you again for rolling with the punches.
Good morning, Pat. And let's be clear here. You did not have a backache. People have backaches all the time. That is severely underselling what you had yesterday. So you had when you can't sit down and work, that's a problem. It's not my back aches. No, you don't take off work for a backache. You take off for what you had. And I'm glad you got some rest. And it just, yesterday working with Dr. Lyerly helped, my eventual takeover of the show.
yours or hers?
No, of yours. This show will become mine, and I will have absolute. There we go.
Because that does sound like Kristen. That's the voice in her head.
Oh,
Alicia puts in here, Greg and the doc were awesome yesterday.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Let's be clear. We were very much rooting for Kristen to win her congressional election. Very much so.
Yes.
But always in the back of our mind, it was this little nugget of, well, if it doesn't work out, you know, we get more Kristen, and there's definitely going to be more Kristen because she enjoys it. She likes both the information aspect of it and the fun aspect of it.
Yeah, she's our chief morale officer.
That's right. She is there for a reason. So now you are in a Brewers t-shirt.
I am, yes.
And boom, 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 boom. That despite the temperature at Radio Park being 27, the wind chill being 10. What are you pointing at over there?
I'm pointing at my Milwaukee M12 jacket, which allows you to hook a Milwaukee Tool battery in there to warm it up. So, you don't know. Patrick Ilyanovich Rasputin Kreitlow.
Tell me
so,
more.
So, Milwaukee Tool, the greatest tool company ever. I'm not sponsored, but feel free to send me free stuff, Milwaukee. They make a line of vests and jackets where you can take their M12 battery, which is, it's a small battery. Mm-hmm. You can click it in there, and you can heat your jacket.
Oh, my God. It's like heated seats for your car, mm-hmm. but in a jacket.
Yep, and you can adjust on the breast pocket or on the breast part of the left part of the jacket. You can adjust the temperature a little bit. But it's not a thick jacket. I would say it's a spring early winter jacket at best. But with the battery, you can withstand tons of low temps.
This is crazy. Honey, did you hear about this? The heated jacket? Oh, I've seen it. You've seen it? Yeah. Okay.
Well, hi, Dr. Kreitlow.
I guess there's no more mystery about what Dr. Kreitlow's getting for Christmas.
I was going to say, yeah, someone's getting a heated jacket for Christmas.
That's right, she is. Wow.
Yeah.
That's which you will need on a day like this where it's 20 in Wausau, 21 in La Crosse. Rapids at 18, Green Bay 25, Madison 22, Waukesha 23 degrees. And it's going to stay this cold for the foreseeable future, at least the next 6-7 days or more. And Brittany Merlot will be along in an hour to talk about that. So this is real, folks. Mm-hmm. This is there's no longer the, we might hit the 60s one more time. No.
See you in April.
Yeah. Yep. Not going to happen. Nah, God, nah. You have mentioned, I know you mentioned with Kristen yesterday about getting set to do a little holiday weekend traveling. We've all been talking about Thanksgiving. What about Black Friday? Are you a Black Friday shopper?
No, I am not. We talked about Black Friday actually on Matt and Air on Air, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on Civic Media Radio Network. No, I am not. I just would rather not. I understand the whole, MO of Black Friday and why they do it, but I would rather just shop other days and take advantage of Cyber Monday. I think people should have off because even when they're working Black Friday, they're probably working Thanksgiving too to do the inventory and whatnot. So,
right.
Getting knocked over for, a blender isn't my idea of a good time.
No. And we're past that age of commercialism where it's like I'm thinking of like the Cabbage Patch doll, where something like causes this rush to all of the stores because we now have the interwebs where we can take care of this stuff. So here's the deal, and here's the story here, and thankfully the 5-year-old grandson is not a regular listener, so I will not be spoiling things here. But we were talking over the weekend on FaceTime, and at some point, we said, well, what do you and your sister want for Christmas? And my daughter was very puzzled because she heard him say something like Play-Doh pizza bike. Like Play-Doh pizza. Is he just giving random words, And we're like, what is he talking about? And she's like, I don't know. He watches a lot of TV. Who knows?
Play-Doh pizza bike. You figure it out, old man. Click.
So I go to Google. All I do is I type in Play-Doh, and then I don't even have to type in the rest. First is Play-Doh set, but the next hit is Play-Doh pizza delivery scooter. It's like a little red, you know, trike, but it's got a thing in the back where you'd put like little play boxes of pizza. Your pizza delivery
what
driver
the heck
on
is
a little
this?
Tiny red scooter delivering your pizzas made of Play-Doh. And I'm like, this is it. This is again, I'm not getting any kickback for this, but kids saw that toy and it clearly made an impression on some of them. So, but again, I'm not rushing to get to the front door of the store on Black Friday. I'm going online and I'm going click.
I would click sooner than later because I have a feeling this is going to be gone.
That's why we did last night. We did. We clicked hard on that button.
Because, all right.
Yeah, you looked
at
yourself,
old man.
All right. But that's the extent of, you know, Black Friday for us. And by the way, I'm going to make very clear, we very much support small businesses, support local businesses. There's time to shop in those places.
Yes.
And I just don't get up, you know, early to do that. Obviously, even if I didn't have a morning radio show, that's just not my thing. And now, thankfully, more stores are, you don't have to wait till Friday. A lot of stores are already, you can stop in today and you can get, you know, something. So that's a good thing. But regardless, yeah, let me say again, small businesses, local businesses, that would be the way to go.
I absolutely agree. And that's the thing is you have Black Friday this Friday. Then you have Small Business Saturday,
right?
This coming weekend, and then of course you have Cyber Monday. But that's the thing, though, Pat. Now, I mean, I got emails like last week. We're starting our Black Friday sale right now. So like, even Black Friday doesn't even have it's lost. It's like President's Day. Buy a mattress. You know what I mean? Like, there's no there's no anything to it anymore. It's they might as well just be like, we're having a sale for the rest of November and into most of December.
It really shouldn't. It's not so much about the specials or any one special. I think Black Friday now only works if you're like making a thing out of it. Let's say you and your family or you and your friends, you know, you go to the same place for breakfast or maybe breakfast after you go get the early deals. So if it's an event, you know, that would be one thing. But in terms of, it's commercial appeal. No, not so much.
No.
Just like I said, get out there and do your shopping or make your lists and get set for the true holiday season to really kick off the day after tomorrow. We'll have a live show tomorrow, but then we will kick off the holiday weekend. Thursday and Friday, we will be running shows that feature some replays of some of our favorite interviews. I will have Luke Mathers helping me out with this day, you know, in history and our daily history lesson and more. So tune in for those shows on Thursday, Friday. I'm going to get caught up on some of the sports I couldn't tell you about yesterday, some of the Badger teams and things like that. And then we'll unpack some of the headlines for this Tuesday morning, November 26th. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota. On the Civic Media Radio Network. You can follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Tina Turner was born this day in 1939, 85 years ago. So we're listening to a few Tina tunes, including some that have very much a distinct 80s sound, like this one.
Oh,
from
yeah.
The, what was it? The Legal Eagles soundtrack, I think it was called.
That's it. You just had to say Legal Eagles. Done. 80s. That's it.
That's all. But look, I like all of that. We played Proud Mary earlier. Obviously, she had influence in all these different decades. I don't know if you had a favorite or not. I couldn't pick any one or two. I'd have to say that's why I picked them for all the bumper music today. I like them all.
I mean, honestly, like your first remembrance, you know, my house wasn't awash in the sounds of Ike and Tina Turner. So really, My first exposure to Tina Turner was this 80s output that she had. You
Private
know,
Dancer.
Private Dancer. Like that, yes. What's, I mean, What's Love's Got to Do with It, of course. And then and then you learn, of course, you're like, oh, she's like every 80s big 80s artist that was out there. Like, oh, she's been around for like 20 years before this.
Right. Yep.
And you're listening to this music that is incredibly soulful and funky. And then you hear about the history and what she went through.
And the cross-pollination on the videos, I'm looking at Better Be Good to Me, and I'm like, that drummer, he's really good. Then you realize, no, that's Max Weinberg. That's from from the E Street Band. Oh, that guy. Oh, sure, him. So we learned a lot there. 855-75-CIVIC is our number if you want to reach the show ever, or just text us a note, 855-75-CIVIC. Tony from Ashland writes in on YouTube. We've got to correct the record here, Tony. He writes here, I thought Chief Morale Officer Kristen Lyerly sent you home yesterday for not having quite the right mood for yesterday. No, Tony. She heard about my sore back and said you couldn't be in the right mood for working, so you should not.
Wow.
And Kristen and Greg filled in so admirably.
Yeah.
So there you go. So no, I didn't get sent home. I'm not saying I wouldn't have deserved it, but it didn't happen. One of the things we didn't get to talk about yesterday, though, with my being laid up, was this story that came out late Friday. And it made me laugh. The Dan Bice story that Tim Michaels had, he and his family had donated more than $500,000 to Donald Trump's campaign. By the way, all on the same day. How coincidental. What a coincidence. And that he was gunning for a cabinet office, and that he was this close to being named Secretary of Transportation. But as you know, Sean Duffy ended up getting the post, in part because, Bill Michaels, or Tim Michaels, rather, Tim would not divest his holdings in Michaels Corporation, the family-owned construction business, worth about $4 billion. That would have been a walking, talking conflict of interest because Michaels makes their money off of government transportation contracts. I mean, I know we all know the level of corruption that somebody like a Donald Trump is able to absorb. When even Donald Trump's people have a line and Tim Michaels goes past it, that tells you voters probably made the right call in the governor's race last time around.
The question I have is, why is Tim Michaels being held to this standard that nobody else is? Is it because
I'm sure he was thinking the same thing? I'm sure he was.
like oh, that's really funny. I got to confess, that's funny. I was just, wait, you're serious? but wait, why?
I don't get more of a kickback on everything, more of a taste of everything. I get it because, I mean, there's so many things about the way that Trump grifted on taxpayers that just never get enough attention. For example, the way that rather than the Secret Service protects him, keeps him alive.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he charges you, the taxpayer, the highest rate possible, he makes the Secret Service pay for hotel rooms, you know, where they go. And I'm not saying he has to give them away for free, but he charges the highest rate possible and has made millions of dollars off the taxpayers just for that and some of the other accommodations that go into, you know, presidential travel. Again, anybody else tries that, people howl to the rafters, but not in this instance.
Yeah, this is
so yeah, that's and like Tony says, shocking that this was considered a problem for Tim Michaels, but yeah. Apparently it was. And so Sean Duffy, you know, this new resident of New Jersey who once lived in Wisconsin for a time and was a member of Congress and who left Congress abruptly and has been, you know, went right to Fox and has been a talking head on there ever since, is going to be Secretary of Transportation. And we've already had fun with that one, that his only experience is being on road rules. But I had no idea about the Tim Michaels connection until that came up after we did the show on Friday. And it's just one of so many little things you can talk about with this Trump transition and this whole team that they've cobbled together, you know, Dr. Oz and you know, Linda McMahon from the wrestling world, you know, and of course, Robert Kennedy Jr. The one thing that changed since our last visit here was, you know, Matt Gaetz is no longer in the running for Attorney General.
Yeah.
I'm sure Pete Hegseth isn't going to last much longer for Secretary of Defense. I just think the stench around his behavior and frankly his white nationalist related tattoos is going to be a bit too much. But I mean, from a content perspective, Greg, yeah, you and I won't lack for anything to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I do worry that it's going to cause most Americans' eyes to glaze over and go, well, you know, so what?
And I think that's, I mean, I think we're already there, honestly. I think that's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why Trump got reelected is because he has normalized his behavior. The media has normalized his behavior. And even to a certain extent, thus those like ourselves who speak up and out against his sort of behavior, policy, and just general existence, we have to almost normalize it to stay sane, because you're like, that's another thing he's done. All right, we got to talk about it. And then we got to move on to the next dumb thing, crazy, quasi-illegal thing. It's just a barrage of insanity that people just don't have the time to handle.
No, they don't. And you know, they have to go on with their lives, their day-to-day lives. And so I'll close on the note that I put up on social media yesterday saying, look, there was no single day that the Roman Empire fell. It happened over a course of 100 years, a whole lot of decisions, small and big, that led to this once great empire not being such a big deal. And folks just kind of shrugged and went on with their lives because it either affected somebody else or they grew up thinking, oh, it's always this bad. There was never a better time. When in fact there was, when there were more freedoms, more opportunities for more Americans. And instead, we're going to face what happens next with a collective shrug from a lot of folks. And that's unfortunate. We'll follow them here as best we can. Jennifer Schulze is coming up next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Our homeroom segment continues now with Chris Thiel and now Heather Dubois-Bourne on from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And Sandy Whistler will be joining us as well from the Wisconsin Alliance for Excellent Schools. Heather, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's see. I believe that Sandy's with us as well. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm on the phone.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great. Nice to have you guys into the conversation here. For folks that might have missed the first part of it, we're also joined by Chris Thiel, legislative policy specialist for Milwaukee Public Schools. And we're talking about school funding, which is something that can cause many people to go, what, and not want to talk about it. But if you don't talk about it, and if we don't try to talk about it in plain English, then the legislature is just going to continue doing what it's been doing for over a decade, and that is shortchanging our public schools in order to support a second parallel school system, which, Heather, what is the latest rough estimate on how much the voucher school program is costing Wisconsin taxpayers? This thing that I know some people still think is this tiny little experimental program in Milwaukee, how far has this Frankenstein's monster grown?
Well, I'm sorry to report that this year alone, we're spending about $880 million on both voucher and independent charter programs in this state. And that's privatization spending that does not include the tax credits that people can get for sending their kids to private schools.
About we've come up on the $800 million mark a year.
Oh, yeah. We're close to the $900 million mark, and it's safe to say that we'll be at $1 billion next year.
Somebody needs to, and I know funds are short everywhere, but somebody, maybe if the Marquette poll folks are listening, somebody needs to add a question and see if most folks say, if you ask them, how much do you think the voucher schools cost taxpayers? And I'd be really curious to see how that result comes back. So Heather, I know you know we've been talking with Chris about the what's called the levy tax credit. It's a thing that you see a line on your property tax bill, and the way that they say it's for schools, but it does not get there. Is there any way around this kind of legislative trickery?
Yeah, we just need honesty in budgeting. I mean, those are two things everybody likes, right? Tax credits and schools. So it sounds like it's something very good and great. But the fact that they count this sort of money shifting as school aids is really dishonest. And it's one of the ways that for many years, the state has been able to kind of trick people into thinking they're investing significantly more in public schools than they are.
And it's only going to get crazier after this. I know Chris Hambuch-Boyle has talked about this, that the enrollment limits are going to come to an end. There are limits on enrollment into the voucher program, and they're scheduled to end right now. Sandy, is that something you can tell us more about of what the impact of that might be?
I think that either Chris or Heather could answer that much better than I can. And I'll defer to them.
Okay. Heather, you want to start to fill in the blanks on getting rid of these enrollment caps?
Well, I think it means exactly what people should think it means, that it will be a sort of voucher free-for-all. And when there are no restrictions on how many students who are eligible can enter into the program, that means that there are going to be fewer dollars in the pot for students who attend our public schools. And we know that in the statewide voucher program already, about 80% of the kids who receive a voucher never set foot in a public school in the first place. And so we're not talking about shifting funds from one sector to another. We're talking about adding students who we now pay for with state dollars without making sure that the kids who are in the public schools are getting their needs met first. And that's where we have a real problem. And that's where our public schools continue to see the belt get tighter and tighter and tighter as the floodgates open wider and wider and wider for privatization schemes.
Chris, I don't mean to put this on you for all that happens at the Milwaukee public school system, but we know that the legislature, the Republican leadership, loves to use all things Milwaukee as a punching bag. And it works to an extent. If you look at just on our site this morning, Facebook comments from somebody named Thomas says, there is no fixing the failure of a public school system known as MPS. And then he goes on to write, no amount of money will help that school system. It's been failing for decades. Between the poor leadership and the mismanagement of funds, why waste taxpayer money? Chris, you can give the honest answer. I'm going to give the snarky one first. I don't know, Thomas. What's your alternative? You know, why waste taxpayer money? Where's your idea for educating the kids in Milwaukee? But we'll let Chris give the more responsible answer to the criticisms that come into MPS. Chris?
I mean, we've got just some absolutely incredible students and teachers in this district. And that comment kind of brings to mind, I had a conversation once with a superintendent in a neighboring district who told me, you know, I know MPS has great teachers because I hire them, right? I mean, we just have a lot of fantastic work going on. And one of the things we're seeing, and one of the things we're seeing in other states, is when you actually put the supports needed and target them to what students' needs are, you see improvement. And we've had that. 14 years ago, we had something called the Milwaukee Mathematics Partnership. We were driving our math scores higher and higher, and the new administration came in, cut that program, which was unfortunate because we know that when we target these supports that it works. And the other thing, just generally, I mean, I do agree with you, Pat. I think kind of this Milwaukee conversation gets used as a distraction for the broader state conversation. And to Heather's point, when she was talking about vouchers, it reminded me of Steve Castell, who was a Republican chair of the Education Committee, 2014, 2015. And he said, nobody's yet explained to me how we're going to fund these two education systems. And I think his words were something to the extent, it's going to put the rural funding problems on steroids once mm-hmm. we just open this up. And nobody has addressed that issue. And frankly, overall, where we once were a leader in supporting students, we've dropped from, I think we're around 11th at the beginning of the 2000s, now dropping 25th and below, simply because we're not putting those supports in that we know work for kids. And that's what we need to get back to.
So, Sandy, there's going to be this event coming up on the 14th as well, where people can get together and talk about essentially the state budget process. It's going to be starting up in earnest in January when the new legislature comes into session. But the Alliance for Excellent Schools, the Public Education Network, other advocates, that work's already beginning right now, isn't it, on how to talk to your local legislator about how the state budget should work best for public schools. Is that a good way to frame what these conversations are going to sound like, Sandy?
Yes, very definitely. We've worked diligently over the past number of years through various budget cycles to give testimony to the needs that our local school districts have, whether it's a small district in Lake Mills where I live, or it's a city district like Milwaukee or Madison. And what we have found is that our legislators have chosen to ignore the needs that we have in our and the variety of districts that we have in Wisconsin. And we have not had an inflationary increase in support from the state for 16 years. That's a disgrace. We should at least be funding our schools at a level to adjust for inflation. The investment that we make in our kids is essential, and we will be communicating with legislators testifying at the Joint Finance Committee hearings to express the need that we have at this point in time.
Yeah, this is Heather. Do you want to talk more about the event? It's on Saturday the 14th at Knob Hill in Madison. Free and open to all public school champions is the way that you're advertising it.
Yeah, we know that this state has more than enough resources to do right by its kids. And it would really only take a few simple tweaks to how we do school funding to start repairing some of the harm that's been done by depriving kids of what they need for so long. Let's demand that. Let's stand together and be ready to tell our stories, not just at the state level to legislators who get to vote on the budget, but where we live, so that we can encourage our communities and other people who share these concerns to feel comfortable and confident joining us in speaking out and making sure that people are really getting past some of the rhetoric, like we heard from Representative Voss earlier, and who are telling the stories of what local kids need so that we can just change the direction the ship is steering.
Chris, the reason, if people sometimes go, God, Pat, you sound like you take this really personally. Here's why. Serving in the state Senate 15 years ago, at the very beginning of the Great Recession, and we're facing a $6 billion shortfall in the state budget, and some painful decisions had to be made, including taking away that indexing for inflation, not out of a desire to harm the schools, but because the economy was so bad. We knew we couldn't even make the rate of inflation for that year. But then Republicans took over after the 2010 election. They never put that back in. And so for 16 years now, you've had things not keeping up with inflation. I remember a $6 billion shortfall. Now we're at a surplus that's currently four, but has been as high as $6 billion. And all we heard back then is, well, when times are better, we'll fix things. So, Chris, at the risk of being redundant, again, we're not asking to give schools a blank check. But if you're going to make some kind of permanent fixes, the time to do it is with a $4 billion surplus. And that's why I keep coming back to what's the best way we talk to people about making permanent fixes to just the current shortcomings. That's not, Chris, the same as a blank check.
That's absolutely right. I mean, and to, you know, I remember that those days as well when that decision had to be made. And to your point, I think, I mean, this is not a partisan issue to the extent that this per pupil funding attached to the rate of inflation was developed under Tommy Thompson, a Republican governor, right? So I think there was just this common sense, hey, let's at least provide our students year to year the same basic level of support to make sure that we have a stable, predictable, understandable funding system, as opposed to what we've seen, Pat, since, you know, that moment, which is, again, it wasn't something that people wanted to do. But over the last 15 years, we've just seen extreme cases where in some years, 2 years in a row, there was no per pupil adjustment whatsoever to keep pace with inflation. So you had a year, you know, everybody was talking about inflation. Inflation goes up 8%. No per pupil funding was provided to kids. And this kind of trick was used with some federal money to say, let's plug that in there But we're now in these years where that those the bills are coming due, and it's hurting our kids. It's hurting our kids. So we need to be honest about, one, making sure that we're putting enough money to at least keep pace with inflation. I think that's something everybody can understand and get behind. Two, even though people shouldn't have to do this, remind your legislator, make sure that dollar you're talking about actually can buy a crayon or pay a teacher. Let's not have it be some property
pass through. Yeah.
Pass through thing. And then I think really the other major thing that across the state, when we talk to the Rural Schools Alliance or, you know, WPEN, our groups, whatever region you're in, funding students with disabilities, not being in last place in the United States of America for supporting our kids with disabilities. We have to break out of this and actually just put funding in that area because, one, it benefits all students. Two, it does not have a negative impact on property taxpayers. So that's something we could do. Common sense, the money is there, and it needs to be a promise that's kept. We can't have this promise of 33% and then it falls back down to 29%. We need to change our law so that when we say, hey, we're going to fund you at 90%, we live up to that promise.
Alicia's writing in on YouTube. What is the event on December 14th? If allowed, I would like to be there. Chris Hambuck Boyle has already put in the comment section. Go to wisconsinnetwork.org and you'll get to that blast off on December 14th. Do you want to say anything else quick about the event there, Heather?
Yeah, all who care about this are welcome, and we need you at this event. We want to make plans for how we can coordinate together as a statewide coalition and locally where we live to really make an impact. And like Chris said, to let folks know what it means to close that special education funding gap for kids in our communities and to start, freeing up those dollars into spendable aid for our districts so that they can really allocate them where their own priority needs are instead of having to scramble every year and use their general funds to cover costs that the state won't reimburse.
And Sandy, one last thing here. We're getting a comment on Facebook. I wish we could clone Heather dozens of times and place them all in the legislature. She is great. Sandy, no offense to Heather. We're just talking, we just need more school champions in the legislature. So there you go. Okay. We've got unanimity in there. Let's get people that are actually supporting the schools. Chris Thiel, Heather Dubois-Bornon, Sandy Whistler. So great to see all of you. We're definitely going to be back several times talking about the state budget. Thanks for helping tee up the discussion for us. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you
guys.
Thanks, Beth. Thank you.
Thanks all right. You bet. Our pleasure. Todd Alba is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, we should be visiting shortly here with Chad Holmes of the conveniently named Chad Holmes Show coming up on 98.9 WXCO. Then again, Greg, for all I know, Thanksgiving vacation schedules might have gotten in the way. I really should be looking at these things more often. But here's some details as we were talking about. We kind of ran out of time talking with Jennifer Schulze there about tariffs and President-elect Trump threatening these sweeping new tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China. He said that he would impose a 25% tax on all products entering the country from Canada and Mexico and an additional 10% tariff on goods from China. So what he's essentially saying is that the current trade agreement between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, formerly known as NAFTA, isn't good. And so we need these more tariffs. And Chad Holmes joins us now. And Chad, pop quiz, do you happen to know who is in charge when the last trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada was put into place?
Would that have been...
Yeah, that would have been Trump. So,
How did I miss that one?
So this is Trump, too, saying Trump won. I was a failure last time, so I've got to increase the prices that you pay at the grocery store as a result.
If there's one guy that's self-reflective. And
oh, yeah. Self-awareness. He can spot his own hypocrisy and irony a mile away.
It's a man growing into the role.
It's a weave.
Every night he goes to bed and he says, "Dear Diary, today was an okay day, but there's always room for growth."
Yes. How can I make myself better?
Oh,
God.
Not for myself, but for the American.
Oh, what a what a time this is going to be. Mr. Holmes, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
I go to my mom's.
Nice.
Fortunately, okay. She's still right in our area here in North Central Wisconsin, so it's not a long trek or anything like that. So,
and what do you contribute to the dinner now?
Besides my sparkling wit. Yeah, there it is. It's your wit. Yeah,
your sparkling wit.
My wit.
Oh boy. You lucky dog.
And then that laugh. Now
yep. I know. I bring my joyful smile.
The question I have for both of you, are there gonna be people at your Thanksgivings where you're like, just don't talk about anything at all. Just talk about sports, talk about the weather, talk about nothing.
Yeah, I've got that with a brother-in-law and a now former son-in-law, though politics had nothing to do with it, where you just know, like, okay, this is family. We're not going to do that here. In that I never bring it up.
Yeah.
If they bring up something, and by the way, when they do, it's never been to like pick a fight. It's been, what's the deal with, you know, such and such? And yeah. And then we talk, and, you know, we talk it out fine. Chad, how about you?
Unfortunately, just recently I had a major blow up with my brother.
Oh, no.
Right before the election.
Oh,
I mean, we had, I have sort of for a long time realized that he has fallen into that conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I kind of kept my mouth shut because, back when I first started my show, I got this very long text from my brother complaining about a show that I had sort of pushed back against Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh.
And he apparently at the time was investigating Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State. And I got this very long this text about how unfair I was to Ron Johnson. And it really, really, really annoyed me. I mean, it's not that I can't take the criticism. I just think that I'd kept my mouth shut about politics for a very long time because I realized that we think very differently. And then right before the election, I went over there and I wanted to talk to my mom, who we're very simpatico when it comes to politics. I wanted to kind of talk about the election. Except he's sitting there, and I'm just sort of biting my tongue, this is not actually a happy story. But finally, my mom says, "Well, do you think Joe's going to pardon his son?" And I said, "Well, I don't think so." At the point, I thought, "Well, because he said so," and then I heard a grunt from across the room.
Oh, the grunt! And, it's like a shot fired at Lexington and
right,
Concord.
Right. Yep. So then I say, and I had not asked the big question. For years, I go and I use his name. I go, and who are you voting for? I was so annoyed with that grunt.
I really.
And then he says,
"Yeah,
Jill Stein." And then,
oh
I,
no! I wouldn't have held it together. Yeah. I wouldn't have.
And then I grunted, and then. And there was a little other part of the conversation which I'm not going to get into. And then I said to my mom, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
And then I said something really bad, and then I left. And then he did stop by a couple of days after that. But I haven't really had a long conversation since then. But unfortunately, I don't think that's an unusual aspect in this era.
It's very difficult. It's not because you've got a side that is dealing in so many ways with a lack of reality, and I know that they get very, you know, defensive about that, but again, there's such a difference between disagreement rooted in common shared facts and disagreements that you can't broker because one side is so dug in on something that has no basis in fact, whether it's Ron Johnson on COVID or Pam Bondi wants to be the next attorney general. The first question she should be asked in her confirmation hearing is, do you still believe the 2020 election was stolen? Mm-hmm. And if she says yes, she has no qualification to be attorney general. I mean, so from the highest levels to the family Thanksgiving table, we have to get back to that shared set of facts. And that's a tough thing to do in this kind of environment.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it's, I know, and frankly, I haven't figured out the answer yet.
No, so no, and that's, we are all going to be negotiating our way through that. You can help Chad Holmes with his negotiations on his program coming up next on 98.9 WXCO or through the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, guys.
All right, you take care. And Greg Bach is back with Matt and Air on Air, 10 a.m. this morning.
Darn right.
You want to be there.
Yes, you do.
All right. And you want to be back here for one more live show before we head into the long holiday weekend here on Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.